Glory be to God. A few months ago, I delivered a message on greed and covetousness, and they're so closely related, and a lot of people are deceived in these areas. This morning, I'm going to deliver a message, and I know, I can guarantee, that some of you won't forget this message I'm going to preach on this morning for a long time. I hope you never forget it, because it's that serious. And it's that subtle a weapon that Satan uses to kill, steal, and destroy. Turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to start reading at verse 22. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. I'll hold you in suspense. I won't reveal as of yet what my topic will be. You're probably wondering, what is he going to be preaching on this morning that's so very important? Okay, let me start reading. Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city. Now, this is referring to the city, New Jerusalem. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it, that is the city. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Now listen, this is the part that I'm going to be speaking on this morning, verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it, that's the city, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. If you have an ink pen out, underline deceitful, because this morning I'm preaching on lying and deceiving and falsehood. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We find out right here in Revelation 21:27 that if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we have access to the city called New Jerusalem. If not, in chapter 20, verse 15, we read of the other possibility. If our name's not in that book, we read in Revelation 20:15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So it'll be one or the other. It will either be the lake of fire or New Jerusalem forever. And we just found out in 21:27 that there won't be anybody, no one, zero, that will enter that city that is deceitful. There won't be any. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, notice the contrast, the word of contrast, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those that practice magical arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Does it say some liars? It says, all liars. Where will their place be? New Jerusalem? No. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Okay? I want you to jump to chapter 22, still in the book of Revelation. Look at verse 15. In fact, let's read verses 14 to 15. Revelation 22, verses 14 to 15. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside, that's outside of the city, are the dogs, those that practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone, not some, but everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Okay, now if that's not enough, it should be. But if it's not, I want you to jump with me to the book of Proverbs. I have a message this morning. I wish we would have a few thousand more people here this morning to hear this message. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9. Proverbs 19:9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will perish. Jump over to chapter 21, verse 28, still in the book of Proverbs. 21:28. A false witness will perish. Jump with me over to Psalm, the book of Psalms this time, Psalm 101, verse 7. Right before the book of Proverbs is the book of Psalms. Psalm 101, verse 7. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Let me show you something else. Jump with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the very chapter that Sister Tony read this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 3 through 7. But among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. Now, this type of impurity would include deceit. Or of greed. You see where the word greed and impurity, they're side by side? Because these are not proper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Why are they out of place? Because we're representing God Almighty in this dark, wicked, devilish, despicable world. Verse 5, for of this you can be sure. What can we be sure of, Lord? What do you want us to know positively? No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. I don't care if they claim to be an eternal securist. Don't be deceived. A lot of deceived people around, they think that you can live like the devil after you get saved and you're still going to enter the kingdom of God. You see, they had this trouble over here at Ephesus. And Paul said, don't let anyone deceive you with empty words, because those words are empty that would say that you could enter and live like the devil. You're not going to. He said, let's get this perfectly straight. Such a person has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. None. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anybody deceive you. I don't care if they're on TV. I don't care if they're on the radio. I don't care how many books they wrote. If they're teaching contrary to this, do not be deceived. I'm going to be preaching a message, I promise you, within the next 4 weeks. And that will be another message that will be free. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to take an extra copy out of here and give it to somebody that believes once saved, always saved. Because I can guarantee you there are no less than 30 irrefutable arguments that teach in the Word of God. Jesus did not believe that once you were saved, you were always saved. Neither did Paul or Peter or John or James or anyone else. Because that is not the message of the New Testament. And I'll be showing you just what these other verses really say that the eternal securists use to prove what they think is the biblical view on salvation. And then Paul went on in verse 7. Well, let me read it till end of verse 6. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. You're not going to escape the hand of God. If you get out of line, God knows how to bring down the spiritual 2x4. And He will discipline you. It's for your good, but I want you to know you can carry it so far that you can walk away. God forbid that anybody here would do that, but you can. Verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. That's the people that would do these things. Okay, now jump with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I want you to see what Jesus had to say. And then I'm going to make a few shocking statements after that. If I didn't already shock you, I will. Mark chapter 7. I'd like to read verses 20 through 23. Mark chapter 7. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed. There's that word greed again. Malice, deceit. You can circle the word deceit. Lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils, what are they? Evil. They come from inside, and they make a man unclean. They come from inside, and they make you unclean. Okay, now that we found out that we better not lie or be deceitful, maybe what I should do is define the word lie. I think some of you, I say this in all sincerity, some of you don't know what the word lie means. The word lie means uttering what one knows to be false with the intent to deceive. Anything that deceives or creates a false impression is a lie. If it's unintentional, it's not a lie. If somebody would ask you, well, can you give me directions, please, to the Pizza Hut? And if you say, well, the Pizza Hut is 3 blocks down this street, and then turn left and you can't miss it. When it's not 3 blocks, it's really 5 blocks down. That's not a lie, unless you did it intentionally. If it's unintentional, it's just ignorance on your part. That's not a lie. That is not a lie unless it's intentional. Let me define the word deceit. Deceit is defined as a lie or other dishonest action. Dishonest action. It doesn't necessarily have to be verbal. Now, since we're talking about a lie, let's find out what truth is. because truth is the opposite of a lie. Truth is a statement or belief which corresponds to reality. It conforms to fact and reality. Okay? I wonder why there are so many acts of deception going on in our day and age. How in the world can people that profess to be Christians be so oblivious to what the Word of God has to say about deceit and lying? Okay? Jump with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. I'm talking about something that when you leave these doors today, you better realize that you better leave behind falsehood, you better leave behind deceit, you better leave behind lying, or you know who's going to pay the consequence? You. And I want you to know God knows. 1 Corinthians 5 verses 9 and 10. I've written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. See, Paul was talking about here, really, the context is a person in the congregation of Corinth that fell into sexual immorality, and he was recommending that you kick the wicked one out of your group so that the leaven doesn't contaminate everybody there. And he's saying something very interesting in verse 10 about the characteristics, plural, of unsaved people. Unsaved people are, according to verse 10, sexually immoral. Maybe just in their thought life, but they're sexually immoral. They are greedy. I'm talking about unsaved people. They are idolaters. And notice the word swindler. Now, if you know what the word swindler means, it's somebody that cheats you out of money or property. That's what a swindler is. A swindler is a liar. That's what a swindler is. There are various forms of lying. And I wanted you to notice this passage so that you could see that all of us, no exception, we lived in deceit before we came to Jesus. Are you listening to me? I said every one of us. If you think, well, you're describing these other ones, Brother Dan, but you're really not talking about me. Oh, yes, I am. You're deceived if you think that doesn't include you. Every single one, including me, every one of us, we're all in the same wretched, miserable, vile condition. And all of us alike, we're going to have to struggle against certain types of tendencies. And the tendency with deception is because of the old self and also Satan. You know, we have three enemies, the world, the devil, and the flesh. And this world system is a big bunch of lies. And one of the main reasons why a lot of people that claim to be Christians, why they lie all the time and they act like the devil in doing so, is because of TV. But you watch TV and you see the hero of that detective program, or you see the hero of that cowboy movie, you notice, they're all liars. They're all violent, even the so-called clean ones. They all are a miserable, poor, ungodly example for children to model their life after. And the guy that is elevated to somebody that is really with it, really popular with the crowd, really clever, is the deceiver. He deceives somebody, and he gets what he wants by lying to that person. The clever one. The world portrays lying and deception with cleverness. They say, that's a smart person. That person can get whatever they want. And I want to say something else right now. You'll search the pages of the Bible for a long, long time before you ever see the words white lie. It's not there. That's a fabrication from the devil in this world system to undermine the severity of lying and deceit. And I'll tell you something else, too. I want you to listen to this. Those of you that ever studied psychology, you better listen to me. I had a few classes in psychology when I went to college. And it's really a shame how ungodly, I said ungodly men, I'm saying atheists, I'm saying sex perverts, are elevated as somebody that we should study and learn about human nature. And these sex perverts and atheists that have no qualms whatsoever, they recommend deceit. And if you think that you can use psychology in that way and deceive, now I will say one thing. I read a good bit about human relations and how we can get along with one another. A lot of the things in the books that I've read, a lot of those principles are really found in the book of Proverbs. So the ones that are based on the Word of God, they're okay. But I'm talking about the ones that are not. I'm talking about the ones that are based on deception and lying. That's just what the devil wants us to do. You better be careful. You better be careful. You better be careful. And parents, you better be doubly careful because you're the role model. I want you to know if you go ahead and lie in front of Junior, Junior's going to go ahead and think, oh, that's perfectly acceptable because Mom and Dad does it. This hero on TV does it. Speaking of TV, listen to me. The normal TV viewer watches in 1 year over 9,000 acts of sexual immorality. Over 9,000 acts of sexual immorality in 1 year on TV. Don't tell me the devil isn't using TV in a mighty way. It's either a sexual act or some kind of innuendo. And ladies, I'm telling you right now, if you want to get somewhere with God, you better shut those soap operas off and leave them off. That's from the devil. Do you hear me? That's serious business. To sit before that adultery and take that trash in, because Jesus said, you commit adultery, you can in your thought life. I believe these are part of the reasons why so many people don't take lying and deception serious like it should be taken. I'm going to give you a few reasons why people lie. Did you ever stop and wonder why people lie? If you've been ensnared in this habit of lying, and I want you to listen to me, give me your undivided attention. If you think, if you're having trouble with this, that you're alone, you're not. You're not. I heard a preacher a few years ago, he said, he admitted when he was a young boy, he just had a problem with lying. He was unsaved. He didn't know the Lord. He just lied and lied and lied. Really no need to lie, but he just went ahead and did it anyhow. He was a liar. And he just lied and 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 lied. And then he got saved. And you see, we're creatures of habit. And if you have been a liar, and you've just lied and lied and lied and lied and lied, that you're going to have a very great tendency to slip back into that if you're not extremely careful. And this preacher said that his habits from the time that he was a child has unfortunately carried over to his adult life, and he has to really battle against it. But I want you to know there's victory in Jesus. There's victory because of the blood of the Lamb, but you have to want it. And I'll tell you something right now. I'm going to show you in a little bit how you can get the victory over lying. But you have to, first of all, be honest enough with yourself. Don't lie to yourself and say, well, this message doesn't apply to me. Because unless you realize first that you have a need, you're not going to be able to do anything about it. I don't care if it's lukewarmness or whatever it might be. And if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, I repeat, if you are going to enter the kingdom of God, you're going to have to be an overcomer. That means that you're going to have to overcome certain things, such as lukewarmness, such as greed, such as deceit, lying. Why do people lie? One reason, to impress their teachers, parents, and friends. Everybody wants to be accepted. One of the tendencies in all humans is acceptance. We cry out for it. We want other people to accept us. And right now while I'm on the subject, it says in Romans 15 that we're to accept one another as Christ accepted us. So when strangers come into our church, we need to lovingly greet them and accept them just the way Jesus took us in. And some people will lie to impress and to gain acceptance. I'll give you another reason. People lie to avoid the consequences of their own behavior or identity. To avoid being scolded, rebuked, rejection, or any other kind of form of anger, people will often lie. Listen to me. Gehazi, the servant of the prophet Elisha after Naaman, the Syrian, was healed of leprosy. Do you remember? He lied. He wanted that money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And that was another kind of evil the love of money led him into. And he ended up lying to cover up his greed. David lied. He fell into adultery, murder, and lying. Another reason why people lie. To avoid an anticipated unpleasant situation. Mom, you're wanted on the telephone. Who is it? Tell that person that I'm not home. Bullseye. Bullseye. Double bullseye if you have children, because that act of wretchedness is carried over to them and they think deceit is acceptable and clever. How about this one? This is a revengeful kind of reason to lie. To hurt or damage a person in some way. The chief priest lied about Jesus. They lied about Stephen. It was intentional. They lied about Paul. It was intentional. It was aimed to hurt or damage person. These are reasons why people lie. To impress, gain acceptance, avoid the consequences of your behavior, to avoid an anticipated unpleasant situation, and to hurt or damage a person in some way. We're not all children of God. There is no such thing as the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. That is a lie from the devil. You are of your father the devil up until the time that you get saved. Jesus told these religious people, you belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. That is, you want to carry out Satan's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Now listen to this. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan's native language is lying and deception. Just like over here in America, we speak English as our native language. Satan's a liar, and that's exactly what all of us, our native tongue before we got saved. English and deception. We spoke two languages. Okay, I want you to see something else. Turn to the book of Ephesians again. I'd like to draw your attention to verses 22 through 25. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 25. You were taught with regard to your former way of life. Now he's writing to Christians. In regards to your former way of life, that's before you got saved. To put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. Notice verse 25, it talks about putting off falsehood. Notice verse 22, talks about putting off the old self. The old self and falsehood go hand in hand. And also, because of Satan, we will be tempted to lie. Now I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Where will all liars, no exception, I don't care if they read the Bible. I don't care if they go to church. I don't care if they claim to be a Christian. I don't care if they prayed a prayer. Jesus, save me of my sins. Come into my life. Where will all liars go? To the lake of fire. Acts chapter 5. I want you to give me your undivided attention. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold, and after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. This is the gift of miracles in reverse. This is the power of God in the gift of miracles killing a liar. Verse 6. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at her feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Ananias, can you hear me? Was it worth it? Sapphira, was the lie worth it? Husband, that lies for your wife. Wife, that lies for your husband. You better take a good, healthy, strong look at Acts chapter 5. You better get very serious, because it is. I think this chapter reflects how God feels about lying. If you thought lying wasn't all that bad, I mean, after all, it's shown okay on TV. The world says it's okay. It's just a little white lie. I mean, my psychology teacher taught me it was okay. I mean, come on. There are so many people around that lie. I've been doing this my whole life through. Are you telling me you really expect me to repent? I'm telling you exactly what I expect. That unless you repent, I expect you to go to hell. If you don't repent of deception and lying, you will go to hell. Now, there's a happy note to this sermon, and I'll be getting to that in a little while, so bear with me. I can see your faces, so hang in there. I want you to know the most wicked people referred to in the Bible, they were liars. Abel lied to God about his brother, Genesis 4:9. Jezebel, one of the most wicked, ungodly, devilish women in the entire Bible, used deceit and dishonesty to get Naboth's vineyard for her husband Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21. Herod lied to the Magi about the baby Jesus, Matthew chapter 2, verse 8. And those wicked chief priests devised a lying plan to conceal the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 28, verse 13. Did you know that it's easier to believe a lie than it is the truth? Acts chapter 20, verse 30. God's judgment is based on truth, Romans chapter 2, verse 2. Some people suppress the truth, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Unsaved people are characterized, some of them, as rejecting the truth and following evil, Romans chapter 2, verse 8, and Titus 1, 14. Love rejoices with truth, 1 Corinthians 13, 6. Paul set forth the truth plainly, 2 Corinthians 4, 2. We are commanded to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4, 15. The fruit of the light consists, as Tony read, in goodness, righteousness, and truth, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. The belt of truth is part of your armor. Maybe part of the reason why all kind of things have been happening to you is because you don't have the full armor of God on. You don't have any belt, which is the belt of truth. We are to show our love by our actions and also by truth. 1 John 3:18. Christians belong to the truth. 1 John 3:19. Some oppose the truth. 2 Timothy 3:8. Truthful speech is an earmark of the servant of God. 2 Corinthians 6:7. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. John 14, verse 17. Jesus is full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Jesus said he was the truth, the way and the life. John 14:6. It is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18. Then on the other hand, it's impossible for the devil to really tell the truth, like we read in John chapter 8, because his native tongue is lying. Jesus said 30 times in Matthew's gospel alone, he said, I tell you the truth. Even if he didn't say that, even if he didn't preface his statement with that, we know it would be the truth because Jesus never lied. He never sinned. And we see in the Bible, guess who the first one to lie in the Bible is? Satan. First one to tell a lie. He's the first one that would have us believe, well, lying's not all that bad. I mean, you really got out of that one. You sure deceived them. That's just what the devil wants you to think. How do we deal with lying? This is something that everyone, no exception, has to deal with. And when you set up godly habits in your life, you're going to find out you're a creature of habit and you'll be able to just do righteous things when you get in the habit. One of the reasons the devil doesn't want you to get in the habit of going to church is because you're a creature of habit. After a while, you'll just keep going to church. Well, it's time to go to church because it's Sunday morning. That's absolutely the truth. If you get in the habit of praying in the morning or reading your Bible, you'll fall right into the habit. Well, I eat my breakfast and I pray before I go to work. You'll get right into the habit. But then on the other hand, if you don't, and the devil doesn't want you to instill godly habits like that, you'll just kind of drift along and the devil will just punch you around. So how do we eliminate lying in our life? I'm glad you asked me. Turn to Psalm 119. This is a very important passage. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. I feel it's so important that I have committed this to memory. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? This is implying that it is especially difficult for a young man to live pure, more so than an old man or a middle-aged man or even a young woman. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Now listen to me. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. You see that part? Do not let me stray from your commands. That's really a prayer. You ask God not to let you stray from his commands. And then I want you to see something here that this person did. I have hidden your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. I guarantee one of the most important things you can do to live a more pure, righteous, godly, and fruitful life is to memorize Scripture. Stephen had Scripture memorized. I want you to know that Paul had Scripture memorized. And Peter had Scripture memorized. All you have to do is study the book of Acts and you can see that. They started to preach. They didn't, oh, wait a minute, I'll pull out the scroll of Isaiah. Let me read to you a passage. It wasn't like that at all. They had God's Word in their heart. And if you hide His Word in your heart, that'll be a real help for you when the temptation to do anything comes along, including lying. I want you to jump with me to the book of Proverbs, please. Chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Now, this is really a prayer. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. See, he's praying for it. Specifically, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. That says, there's a real truth there about the prosperity message, isn't it? There's a real truth there. Okay, so this is what we do. We hide God's word in our heart, Psalm 119, verse 11. We pray that God would keep falsehood and lies far from us, Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Okay, now, you're going to say to me, I don't know about the next point, Brother Dan, but I'll tell you what, this is one of the most important ones right here. Today, those of you that have been lying and deceiving and employing falsehood, you can walk out of here clean and pure, but that habit will still be with you. And one of the ways for you to break that habit, you're going to have to deal with that when it comes up the next time. And that, by that I mean, you tell that person right after you say something that's not right, something that's not true, you tell that person what the facts are. Excuse me, I didn't mean to say what I just did. This is really how it was. You do that two or three times, and I guarantee that it will help you tremendously. In fact, I did that with myself. It wasn't that I had a tendency to lie, because I never had that tendency. But even though you don't have the tendency, at times the devil will certainly try to move in the circumstances of your life to put you in a corner where you will yield to that temptation of lying. And even if he doesn't, the old self will kind of bring that forth. But you correct yourself two or three times, and I guarantee that will help you tremendously. You do that. You have to be an overcomer. You better overcome this thing, or it's going to overcome you. This is serious business. You see, the devil was firing all kind of temptations at us, and the Christian life is a struggle against sin. And this is one of the main deceptions, especially when we get programmed by watching TV. Come on, that wasn't really a lie. Is that how God looks at it? Was that intentional deception? That was a lie. That was a flat-out lie. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:26, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. What a way to describe honesty and truth. It's like a kiss on the lips. Proverbs 24:26. I want you to know of all the sins in the Bible, one kind of sin has the ability to sear the conscience of man. Lying. 1 Timothy 4:2. Lying will damn the soul. It's a detestable practice to God. It can sear the conscience, destroy a trust. It must be overcome. It is practiced by the wicked. By the wicked in the Bible, certainly. And it's the nature of Satan in the old self. If you'd ever study detestable things in the Bible, things that are detestable to God. In Proverbs 21:27, you'd find out the sacrifice of the wicked is detestable to God. In Proverbs 28:9, you'd find out the prayers of one that turn a deaf ear to God's word, they are detestable to God. I want you to know Deuteronomy 7:26 says, idols are detestable to God. Witchcraft, sorcery, necromancy. Necromancy is calling on the dead. That is detestable to God. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12. Those of a perverse heart, they are detestable to God. Proverbs 11:20. Worldly recognition. One of the reasons why people lie, to gain worldly recognition. Worldly recognition in itself is detestable in the eyes of God. Isn't it sad that people that go to high school, they have to be worldly to be popular? The only way a person going to school can be popular, they have to be worldly. You have never, never, never seen a godly boy or girl that refuses to budge regarding truth or righteousness in school be the most popular. Won't ever happen. Because the devil tries to program us immediately to compromise and to seek the recognition of the world. Luke 16, verse 15, if you cross-reference that with chapter 14, verse 7, you'll find out what I just said, that worldly recognition is detestable in God's sight. Now, I want you to listen to this. Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16 says, those that deal dishonestly, that is detestable in God's sight. Might be acceptable in the world's eye, that is detestable in God's eye. And then Proverbs chapter 6, 17 through 19, and Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips and a false witness, they are detestable in God's sight. And we saw from example, and God doesn't change, how he felt about lying in the life of Ananias and Sapphira. And it was Satan that filled their heart to lie. But you know, the Bible teaches that my responsibility in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is not only to encourage, but to correct and rebuke. And sometimes, like Jeremiah 1:10, before you can plant, sometimes you got to dig up some old weeds and stumps that are planted in the field before you can have a good crop. We read of, at least in part, the city of New Jerusalem that you will enter if you overcome. This city is the most magnificent thing in all of creation. Of everything that God ever created, this city that you are headed for, the majority of the people in the Pittsburgh area, they're blinded by the God of this age. They don't know about this city. They don't know about the Jesus of the Bible the way we do. They're not headed for this city. They're headed for a lake of fire. Most of them don't even believe it's real. I was witnessing, I said the other day, yesterday in Oakland, some guy came by me and I was handing out tracts, and he came by with a woman, I wouldn't dare call her a lady, came walking by with her, and he said to me, "Sex is God." That's what he said to me. He said, "Sex is God," and he laughed, and she laughed, and they walked off together. I wouldn't dare call that woman a lady. People like that, they're blinded by the God of this age. Blinded by the God of this age. Deceived by the devil. And there are a lot of people just like that, and TV helps promote that kind of philosophy. They don't know about New Jerusalem. They don't know about this paradise environment held out in front of them. They don't know about a paradise environment held out in front of them. What you have a chance at. Most people won't ever get in. Most won't ever even come close. You're headed for it. And I'll tell you what, you'll make it by God's grace. Just like me, you'll make it. You don't have to be so fearful. I don't know if I'll make it. Well, I'll tell you what, you resist the devil, come out from the world and crucify the flesh. That's what the Bible says to do. You're fighting a good fight when you do that. You'll make it. You'll make it. You take God's word in, encourage one another, establish godly habits, search your heart, repent of things that need to be repented of. This city that is the most magnificent part of all of God's creation is made of pure gold. You might not be living in a place like that right now. It's really likened to an apartment building. There won't be any taxes on it. You won't have to pay any rent. Glory to God. I want you to know you'll hear the best worship music ever inside of that place. I mean, top stuff. The angels will be over there worshiping and praising God. And not only that, the beauty of it all. The beautiful, 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 glorious colors that you will see. There will be righteous people only. No blasphemers, no thieves, no liars. You won't ever have to worry about being deceived. In 1 Kings 13, we found out that somebody believed a lie and it cost him his physical life. You know, because of lying, justice sometimes is not carried out because of lying. There won't be any of that over there because no liar will enter that city. But if you enter that city, you will be with God in a paradise environment forever. Forever. How long is forever? It is forever. Forever and ever 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 and ever. And after that, forever more and more and more. I'm not talking about a mere million years or a billion years or a trillion years. I'm talking about quadrillions of years. Trillions and 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 trillions of years. Forever. All eternity. No end. It will never stop. Tell me, with that in front of you, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it? Whatever the price, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it? Whatever it takes. Whatever. What shall a man gain if he gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very soul, Jesus said. Mark 8:36. What a blessed opportunity we have before us. The kingdom of God is likened unto buried treasure, hidden in the field. When a man found it, went out and sold all he had and bought it. Cost him everything he had. He had to die to self. One of the lies of the devil is, you can have Jesus as Savior, but he doesn't really have to be Lord. You ever hear that lie? I've heard that too many times. It nauseates me when I think about it. Like I pointed out in Ephesians 5:24 this morning, the church submits to Christ. If you're not submitting to Christ, you're not part of the church. You hear me? I don't care if you know Jesus is Messiah, if you know He is the Son of God, if you know for sure that His blood was shed on the cross for you to escape hell, which is real. You're not a Christian unless you submit to Him. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace through faith. But if you have a saving faith, you will submit, says James chapter 2. If not, your faith is dead. It's not the saving kind. So, New Jerusalem is a reality. I pray for all of you every day. And the only one person that I haven't been doing that's here this morning, that's the first time this person has been here, that person is going to be on my list. And one of the things I pray is that you will endure to the end, because you're going to have to endure to the end. Jesus made a very alarming statement to His disciples when He sent them out. Don't be afraid of those, that's plural, don't be afraid of those that kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell, in Gehenna. So He's saying right there, you're going out soul winning. All that live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, if people come at you to kill you, don't even be afraid of them. Don't deny My name. Don't lie. Peter lied. And I'll tell you what, afterwards, that man went out and wept bitterly. If that man could have turned back the hands of time, I guarantee he would have suffered any kind of consequence that would have befell him right there 1,000 times over than to deny Jesus. It might come down to where we might have to die. But it's worth it. This life is nothing but a test to see where you're going to spend eternity.